राम राम हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय It's reading from the fifth canto, chapter 13. Rahugana converses with Jada Bharat, text number 5. Adrishtya Jili Swana Karnas Shula Uluka Vagbi Vyatita Antar Antak Atma Apunya Vrikshan Shrayate Shuda Ardita Marichi Toyani Abhidhavati Kwachit Adrishtya Jili Adrishtya Jili Swana Karnash Sula Uluka Vagbir Yati Tantaratma Apunya Vrikshan Shrayate Shudartito Marichi Toyan Yabi Danvati Kwache Adrishtya Jili Swana Karna Sula Uluka Vagbira Vyati Tantratma Apunya Vrikshan Shayate Shudartito Marichi Toyan Yabi Davati Kwachit Rishito yan yavidavati kwachit. Adrishti jili swana karna shula. Uluka vavir vyanta tandaratma. Punya shaksha shayate shudartito. Marichito yan yavidavati kwachit. Adrishya Jili Swana Karna Sula Uluka Vagbir Vyanti Tantaratma Punya Vrikshan Shayate Shudartito Marichito Yanya Vidavati Kwachit Adrishya Invisible Jili of crickets, or a kind of bee. Swana, by the sounds. Karna Shula, whose ears are disturbed. Uluka, of the owls. Vagbi, by sound vibrations. Vyatita, very disturbed. Antak Atma, whose mind and heart. Apunya Vrikshan, impious trees that have no fruits or flowers. Shrayate, he takes shelter of. Shuddha, from hunger. Ardita, suffering. Marichi, Toyani, the waters of a mirage in the desert. Abhidhavati, he runs after. Kwachit, sometimes. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds. Can anyone hear that? Listen. Okay. And his ears become very much aggrieved. Yes, that's true. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sound of owls. Well, you'll get a chance to repeat. I'm just going over this slowly. So. Which are just like the harsh sounds of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would have to inquire, he would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it. Please repeat. Wandering in the forest of the material world. The conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sound of owls, which are just like the harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Bhagavad philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. Paramo nimatsaranam. The material world is full of envious people. Even within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting. And this is compared to the sound of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sound and thus becomes aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus, the living entity is disappointed. This is just like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such activities do not produce any tangible results due to being directed by the illusory energy. A conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. The verse again: Adrishta jili swana harkarna shula. Uluka Vagvi Vyatantratma Apunyaj Vrikshan Shayate Shudartito Marichito Yanyabhidavati Kwachit. Wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sound of owls, which are just like the harsh sounds of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadyade Sitarane. From the beginning of the 15th chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Orva Malamadakshakam Ashvatam Prahu Aviyam Chadam Siyasya Parnani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. That there is a banyan tree and it has its roots upward and its branches down, and the hymns and the Vedic hymns are its leaves. That one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. In other words, the Vedas are trying to point out that we're living in illusion. All the Vedic knowledge, which more or less is meant to capture the faith of the living entity by showing how the material world works, from Ayurveda to Jyotirveda to all the different subtle sciences of yoga, etc. They capture the soul's imagination, his consciousness, his intelligence, because one becomes convinced that this is truth. Someone is actually telling me how things are working. And then at the end, the Vedas say, it's all an illusion. It's a reflection of the real world. Now, you're supposed to cut off Chindanti Yasyani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. That now you're supposed to cut down with the Narupa Masye Hetato Palabdhyate Nanta Nachadir Nachasampratishta Ashvatam Enam Subiruda Mulam Asanga Shastrena Jidena Chidva. You're supposed to cut down this strongly rooted tree with a weapon of knowledge, sharpened by discrimination and detachment. In other words, if after studying all the Vedas, one becomes even more enamored with the tree, he's missed the whole point of the Vedas. The Vedas are meant to show us how the tree works, that it's just an illusion, and then cut down this illusion with a sort of knowledge and determination. Discrimination. And in order to do so, of course, it is one should learn how to act properly in the material world. So here it says that the nature of the material world is matsara. Everyone is envious. Why is everyone envious? Because everyone has come to the material world to play the part of God. And generally speaking, everyone else doesn't cooperate with our efforts. The material world, although sometimes it appears that someone is cooperating with my efforts to become God, but they only cooperate insofar as it serves their purpose to become God. And as soon as there's only two of us left, after we eliminate all the other potential gods, then we try to eliminate each other. So there's only one God left, myself. It's the good, as we've heard before, it's the give and take principle. You give to me and I take from you. So the material world works like that. And it's always going to work like that. We don't want to disappoint anyone. Because there's always the idea that romance, whatever, there is some hope in the material world. We have to be optimistic and things will get better. Just a few transits away from bliss. But the material world is always going to be disappointing because even we get what we want, there'll be so many people who will be envious that we got what we wanted and that's what they wanted. So they want to get rid of us and take our position. In Spanish, they say, Serrucho el piso. Someone's speaking, he's made the, gotten up to the highest level, he's achieved success, and then his so-called friends are underneath, soaring away at the floor, making a hole, so eventually, he falls down. He's not there anymore. Sarucho is a sore. El piso, the floor, underneath you. Even Indra, as we heard, I think, previously, maybe that was in Prabhupada's lecture yesterday, Indra, even he's a demigod, supposedly in the mode of goodness. As soon as he sees someone advancing, he becomes disturbed and sends one of his apsaras to finish him off. And as Prabhupada was saying yesterday in the lecture also, the karmis, especially, they're imagining that there's water somewhere around here, as mentioned here in this verse, that there is happiness in the material world. Although Krishna himself, God, who hardly anyone listens to, said, Mamu Petya Punarjanma Dukaliyam Ashasvatam. He said it's Dukaliyam, it's full of misery, and Ashasvatam, it's temporary. That's his knowledge. But who believes him? He's just some person who happened to be advising Arjuna before the fight. Came out with some words of wisdom, but he was a little pessimistic. After all, it was a battle. But he says it's all temporary. So, who here is living in a place that's permanent? Who here can say that there is no misery? We're living in L.A., and the smog is downtown, but we're by the ocean, so where is the misery? Oh, we can point out so many different miseries, but we're so accustomed to being miserable that when we make a little bit advancement to getting free from our misery slightly, we consider that happiness. But it's actually all dukkhaliyam. Du means limited, bad, and ka means space. So bad space. Su means nice space. So we may think I'm living in a nice space, but actually ultimately it's all du. It's all limited space. We can't go where we want to. And even in the space we're in, it's not exactly completely pleasant all the time. Therefore, one has to understand that the material world is not the wonderful place that we imagined it would have been or could have been when we came here. Instead, one has to become convinced that this is not where to find happiness. It is simply a mirage in the desert, that the real place to find the water is somewhere else. So that's the karmis. They're working hard to get the water, but they're working in the wrong place to get it. Running after the water, but they never really find it. They simply die in the desert and then come back in another body to run again after the illusory energy. And the Gyanis, they know it's illusion. They know that this is not the place to find water, but they don't know where to actually find the real water. They're not working hard to find happiness in illusion, but they don't know where to go to find real happiness. And that only the devotees actually know. Therefore, Krishna is giving some advice to the devotees in Bhagavad Gita how to avoid the trouble that comes from fruitless efforts and the bewilderment that comes from mental speculation, trying to figure out where reality is, because Krishna tells us where reality is, and if we know where reality is, we can just go there. And Krishna says, to begin with, we have to perform austerity, we have to give some charity, we have to give some penance. And he begins with Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Socham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsam Ja Shariram Tapa Uchite. We have to learn how to pay respect to people. Of course, for the devotees, it doesn't seem like it's a very big thing to bow down. But for a materialist, this is like the last thing he wants to do is bow down to anyone. What to speak of to another person, and what to speak to what he may consider to be idols in the temple, bowing down just like some aborigine in the forest. Bowing down to the sun and moon, but since in L.A. it's hard to see through the buildings, therefore they put up some totem poles to bow down to. They may see like that. And what to speak bowing down. They refuse to bow down to anyone. Of course, in their daily lives, as Muchukunda said, he may be a big hero on the outside, fighting on the behalf of the demigods, defeating the demons. But when he comes home into the inner part of his house, of his palace, then he has to fall down at the feet of his wives for a little sense gratification. So he's a big man on the outside, but when he comes back, the women twist him around in their little finger, and the big hero is just another piece of putty in their hands. Therefore, again, in the material world, everyone is striving hard to become something important. No one wants to admit that they're not as important as they'd like to be. They only associate with people who inflate their ego. People don't go out of their way to look for associates who will deflate their ego. Although, that's unfortunately the way things usually happen, because Krishna doesn't want us to spend our lives puffing up our ego. Dr. Frog. And then someone comes along and points out the emperor actually has no clothes on. And the whole ego disappears. What to speak of reality that actually we're not the body? And the implication of that means that all the good qualities we're imagining that we have, and even the bad qualities that we take pride in Kali Yuga especially, people are not only infatuated by their good qualities, they're infatuated by their bad qualities. Even they pass air, no one likes the smell except for themselves. They're enamored with everything they do, so-called good and bad. Therefore, to get out of this misconception, one has to practice some kind of servitorship. Not that I'm simply independent, free to do whatever I like, think whatever I like, say whatever I like, because I'm free, I'm God, I'm Swarat, and Abhigya. I know exactly what to do all the time, and I'm independent to do whatever I like. No, therefore one has to learn how to pay respect. That we can't bow our body down, at least as an exercise. Now, where is there any hope of making any other progress? So at least to the deva, to God, or even to the demigods, someone superior to pay respect. Not that my aim in life is when I find someone superior to me, then immediately I cut them down by some means. I have my own little French revolution all the time. No, the idea is that we should pay respect to the deva, dvija, to the Brahmins, so those who are actually in the mode of goodness, who actually have some wisdom, who can help people progress towards some positive goal in life. Guru, one who's heavy with knowledge, pragya, and the learned persons. Brahmacharyam ahimsam cha. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam. To worship these persons, socham arjivam, to become clean. And arjivam, simple. These are the two main brahminical qualifications. Cleanliness. Clean our minds, clean our bodies, try to become purified. And honest. Honest is ultimately that we're servants of Krishna, not that we're competitors of Krishna, and collectively or individually, one day we'll break into the kingdom of God, we'll get the old man and kick him out, and we'll take his place. Be simple, realize that we're actually not going to take over the material energy. Material nature is slapping us. The more we try to imagine ourselves independently of the laws of time, the laws of karma, the three modes of material nature, at every moment we're being controlled by these insurmountable material energy. Pujanam socham brahmacharyam. Celibacy, not that I'm an incarnation of Radha, Krishna, and everything I do here as Romeo and Juliet, Tarzan and Jane, Mickey and Minnie Mouse, they're all divine Leela. They're all better than the divine couple in the spiritual world because they don't exist, but we exist. Our love affair is is real. Shariram tapo uchite. So this is actually real tapasya. And it doesn't end there. Externally, I'm acting as if I'm a saint, but internally, I'm Romeo or Juliet. Therefore, it says that one has to go further than that, simply working externally, such as, what is that? Yeah, I know, but what is the first word in stereo speech? Abhyasa. Anuvegam karam vakyam satyam priyahitam jayat swariyaya tapasam chaiva vangmana tapuchate. Anuvegam karam vakya. That one has to not agitate people's minds. Not that I'm so powerful, if no one surrenders unto me, I just agitate their mind to show them you better not mess with the best. Anuvega karam vakyam satyam. One has to learn how to become truthful, but not use truth as a club to hit people on the head with. I have the truth, you're a fool. Here, whack. Surrender. It doesn't end there. Krishna doesn't say, be truthful, find out the worst in everyone and just dig into them until they scream. Satyam Priya, one should try to become pleasing, but not just pleasing as a technique. I've learned how to control people by telling, complimenting, and praising people so that I get whatever I want. I get whatever I want from them. They're a fool number one, but I know I've learned the technique from book distribution. I go up to them and say, my dear sir, I saw your effulgence in the airport. I'm just bewildered by your effulgence. Therefore, I'm approaching you. I found a straw out in the parking lot, and I'm putting it between my teeth, bowing before you in the airport a million times. Oh, great soul, tell me, what is your secret of success? How did you ever come to such an elevated platform? Yes, yes, I can give you my mercy if you want. What would you like? Can you kindly give me a donation since you're unlimitedly the source of everything and the benefactor of all your well-wishers? So give me a donation. Yes, yes, no problem. Here's a donation. And what else would you like? Well, here, take this book, read it, because you're super intelligent, you'll understand everything, and then you can come back and tell me what's in it. So we can learn how to flatter people, be pleasing to them, and that generally people give us whatever they like. We can go up to some lady in the distributing books and say, and she's standing next to her daughter, and say, are you both sisters? And she's, oh, you're just flattering me, aren't you? That's all right, I'll give you a donation anyhow. Because people want to be flattered, people want to feel good, they want to be recognized. People, whatever they're wearing, whatever they're doing, they want to be recognized as being something special. Even, I'm sure, Al Capone wanted to be known as the best of the criminals, or greatest of the criminals. Everyone wants some distinction, whatever they're doing. Satyam Priya Hitam, but it should also be beneficial. Not that we're pleasing, we tell the truth, but it also should have some meaning in the person's life. It should actually help them get somewhere which is positive. Hitam chayat. Swadhyaya vyasanam chayva. And we should help people by giving them real knowledge. So this is not so easy to figure out what to tell the people, how to tell the people, when to tell people different things. It takes some surrender to Krishna. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. We have to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible to have this perfection of speech that Krishna talks about. And only if we can say something which is important to people about Krishna consciousness from the scriptures, which actually inspires people to take up Krishna consciousness in a beneficial way in their lives, can people make any real progress. So therefore, Prabhupada advised us to try and distribute as many books as possible, because what can any of us really tell people that's going to make such a big difference in their lives in 5 minutes in the airport? Or wherever we are, or in any part of our lives. Then Krishna says it doesn't even end there. It even gets better. Manak prasadam samyatvam monam atma vinigraha bhavasam siddhi ityeta tapomanasam uchite. We also have to discipline our consciousness. Not that we become expert at speaking, we're putting on a great show, but we also have to feel properly. We have to use our intelligence to purify our mind so that we have the proper mood also. Otherwise, the whole thing is shrama evahi kevalam. It becomes a failure. If we don't have that mood of service, of devotion to Krishna, we've actually not really accomplished anything of value. We may get some external benefit. We may get some external praise. We may be appreciated. But within ourselves, we'll be feeling empty. So, manak prasadam, somya tvam. The mind has to become balanced and stable. Manak prasada. It should be, prasada means prasad. It should be feeling blessed. Satisfaction. Manak prasadam somya stiryam atma vinigraha. And it should be enlivened by what it's doing. Maunam. It should only say things that are really essential. It should be grave, not attached to sense gratification, distracted by meaningless desires. Maunam atma vinigraha. Bhava samshuddhi iteta. And ultimately it should become pure of all kinds of unwanted thoughts, unnecessary agitations, and be able to concentrate on the Supreme, on Krishna consciousness. Then one will not be disturbed by so many external things. One will know what to do for oneself. Actually, everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Everyone is given a chance in the material world to make progress towards reviving their Krishna consciousness. So no matter what anyone else is doing, if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm thinking the right thing, if I'm saying the right thing on behalf of Krishna, if I become Krishna's instrument, then at least I'll become Krishna's devotee. I'll revive my relation with Krishna. Although others may not appreciate, others may try and distract me from such an endeavor, others may think that I'm wasting my time, but one who's convinced by Krishna consciousness will know how to utilize his valuable human form of life in the way that one will become undistracted, undeterred, fixed in one's determination to become Krishna conscious and actually make one's life successful. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Gaur.